So I invite you to allow yourself the gift of comfort. Part of connecting with ourselves and with the moment is connecting in with a sense of, what do I need right now? And you might discover that what you need is a more easeful position. You know, maybe it's been a busy week or a hard morning. Maybe the body is achy or tired, and it would be a great support to even lie down for this period of practice. And if that's the case, gift yourself that. You know, remembering that our practice in general is an invitation to wake up rather than fall asleep. So sort of balancing the need for ease and alertness. And as you begin to settle, just taking a few simple breaths. And with each exhalation, inviting a letting go, a releasing of tension or tightness in the body. Any place that's willing or able. To relinquish and relax. And as you begin to land in the body more fully, you might find that you're guided to make some micro adjustments to your posture that bring a greater measure of balance or ease or support to the body. And you might, right here in the beginning, if it speaks to you, offering a simple hand to the heart, or maybe hand to the belly, or some other gesture or way of making contact, of connecting with yourself in this moment. As a reminder to bring not only awareness, but kind, friendly, warm-hearted awareness to the moment and to yourself as you practice today. And really gifting yourself some time to let this gesture land, to really receive and feel the kindness of your own touch. One of the losses that many people are experiencing or naming during this pandemic is a loss of touch. For some, it's really a loss of touch entirely. You might be sheltering in place alone, and so really gifting yourself the kindness of touch. And for some, it's missing the touch, the ability to hug or hold loved ones. Children or grandchildren or friends or neighbors. So let yourself be nourished in this moment. By your own caring hand that's always available. And you're welcome to maintain this gesture for as long as it feels nourishing to you. And if it feels kinder to relax your hand or your hands into some other resting position, really listening to the body, knowing that at any moment you could invite the gesture back in. For a little extra kindness or a little extra support. And you might let yourself once again tune into the body. To let yourself connect more fully, more completely with the body. Perhaps sensing at first the body as a whole sitting here. The envelope of the skin. The weight of the body where it makes contact with the chair or the floor. Letting your awareness sweep through the body, leaving no part untouched. Perhaps beginning at the crown of the head and letting your awareness wash over and through the body like a warm sunbeam. Going at your own pace and lingering in any place in the body where you encounter constriction or tightness. perhaps giving those parts of the body time to uncurl, to begin to rest. To be held in the warm gaze of your awareness. You might also choose to linger in those places that feel particularly loose and luxurious. Really connecting with the quality of ease that you might find in places in the body. And as you move through the body with your awareness in this way, lingering in places of tightness and also places of ease, you might notice that the experience of connecting is what feels nourishing, what feels good. Sometimes we're surprised that even pausing to notice or connect with a place of discomfort actually has some peace or some warmth to it. Some satisfaction that's surprising. And it's often the quality of connecting that nourishes us. It's not the valence, pleasant or unpleasant, of what we're connecting with. It's the very act of connecting with our awareness, with what is. Which really widens the possibilities available to us for peace. It means we don't have to get rid of all the difficulty in our bodies or in our lives to potentially feel the peace, the ease, the nourishment of connecting with the moment, with ourselves, through this practice of kind noticing. And you might let your awareness connect with the felt sense of the body as a whole, letting that be the place your awareness rests. Or it might be that you come home to a more specific anchor, maybe a felt sense of the breath or a specific touch point in the body, your back against the floor if you're lying down, or the soles of your feet if you're seated, hands resting in your lap. Perhaps finding a place in the body to rest and connect with again and again. A home base to gather your attention to. Whenever you notice that your mind has wandered, and each time you come back to your anchor, the breath or a touch point, see if you can feel that quality of connection. Maybe even coming back to your anchor with the same warmth you might bring to touching in or checking in on a dear friend. Oh, how are you right now? feeling the nourishment of connecting with this anchor. It's not just a mechanical movement back to the anchor, it's a moment of relating, connecting. And as we come to the final few minutes of our practice, you might, if you like, invite in someone or something that's beloved to you into your awareness, into your heart. It might be a dear friend, a precious pet, might be a favorite tree, or a place that really speaks to your heart or your spirit. You might invite that into the circle of your awareness, so that you and this beloved, whatever form it takes, are both resting in the sunbeam of your kind attention. And you might connect through an image, or maybe it's a felt sense. Maybe there's even a sense of sounds or smells or tastes that brings this person or place or thing to life for you. Not getting too tangled in the story of this beloved, but just really softly, gently, holding them in your heart, in your awareness, and feeling the nourishment of connection. Might even be someone you've never even met. Maybe it's an author that inspires you, whose teachings really always have just the right thing to offer your troubled heart. And savoring any sense of connection to whatever degree it might be present. No need to work too hard or make it be any particular way. And as you're savoring this connection, this time with this beloved, recognizing that this beloved in this moment is part of you. And in that way is always available, always accessible, just like the kind touch of your own hand. And in a moment, as I ring the bell, letting yourself be touched by sound, connecting with this experience of hearing, And as you open your eyes, you might even let yourself connect with seeing. Can you let your eyes touch the world? What's it like to consider the element of connection that's there in sight? You know, our connection in this time of, sheltering in place or safer at home. It's impacting how we connect, but I'm finding it really personally nourishing and supportive to be curious about connection. What is connection? What are all the forms it takes or can take in life? And you know, I'm hearing many people express experiences of all across the spectrum, the moments of loneliness and isolation, the moments of appreciation and where they're finding surprising community and delight. So even within this sort of, in Buddhist teachings, they often say the whole of the teachings is in this fathom long body. You know, it's such a funny phrase, but it's like even in here, in this body, it's like, oh, connecting with a breath or connecting with this body as it's sitting or offering the kindness. And then, you know, the connecting with the world, connecting with the world through the five senses and connecting with our beloveds. And beloved is often a really broad category. Some people feel like a beloved tree is a better friend than a neighbor, you know, so it's like we can find relationship in many places. I know for me, there's this beautiful dead cottonwood on a walk that I take frequently, and sometimes I just lie down on the trunk. It's like, oh, you know, it's this moment of connection with part of the world. You know, it's connecting with the world. So you yourself might be finding these ways that connection's revealing itself to you. And then, of course, there is connection in the human world, which is often fraught with complication. You know, it's magnificent and messy to connect with other humans. And some of them, you know, this question of who am I checking in on and connecting with today? It's like many of us have people in our lives that maybe are high risk or are sick and we're worried about. And so we're checking in, and there's probably a mix of love and at times anxiety or perhaps even obligation in the soup or stew of what's there. And you know, some of us are reaching out to people that we really delight in, and some days, you know, maybe you're like me, after all my Zoom meetings and everything else, it's like I have no energy to connect with another human being at all, even if I want to. It's like, okay, I'm just going to hang out with my cat, and that's as much as I can do. And so, you know, this territory of connection is really complex. And I thought I would also bring a poem into the mix. I often find, you know, poetry packs so much in that prose can't quite capture. And I feel like it really speaks to some of the complexities of love and connection in this time, when sometimes like we're tired, but we do it anyway, or sometimes we're, you know, we're connecting or loving each other in different forms. So This is a poem. Many of you are probably getting the sense lately. My absolute favorite, new favorite poet. I've known her for a while, but I've completely fallen in love with her in the pandemic, and I'm reading her like crazy, is Rosemary Wautola Tromer, and she's out in Telluride. And this is a poem entitled The Inner Cupboard. No one else knows, as they eat the bread, what's been slipped into it. How in with the flour, the yeast, the salt, a stubborn devotion has slipped in. It hides in an inner cupboard. Even the baker doesn't have the key. But when she would rather not be loving, because she is tired, because she feels wronged, because she's distracted, that's when the cupboard opens itself and mixes into her the kind of devotion that cannot be manufactured, the kind of devotion that rises up not out of duty, but from some mysterious, infinite source that guides her hands as they knead the soft dough. It infuses her with a longing to be big-hearted, a longing to love, even when love feels unreasonable. She can smell it as it fills the whole house with its generous scent. Even now, as they sit and eat the bread, it astonishes her how ferocious this drive to nourish, to love. They pass the butter, the jam. She smiles as they eat it together, slice after slice. So, you know, this inner cupboard, I loved that image, that sense of like, oh, you know, there's this infinite source that I think we all can plug into at moments. And I know I find myself plugging into something where I'm like, I don't know where that came from for me to rally and, you know, sit down with one more person or at the end of a day to respond to a call when somebody else, you know, needs to check in. And so, you know, I'd love to offer, as we always do, an optional chance to meet with a couple folks in a breakout room. And if you wish to share something about this theme of connection, it might be something you discovered in your in that guided practice of what it was like to connect in some of these different ways. It might be something about, you know, who am I checking in on or connecting with today? Or it might be, you know, oh, what's my inner cupboard? Or have I had that experience of something, you know, putting me in touch with a devotion to love that's beyond what I thought was there? So we'll take just maybe about 5 minutes, as we often do. And for those of you, I think everybody's experienced breakout rooms, but a couple of you are new. It's this magical experience. If you haven't done it yet, I'll put folks in rooms. And what happens is there's a button that appears on your screen that'll say in a moment, join breakout room. And so you just click that button and you are magically transported into the room. And then I'll, at some point, you know, click a button and you'll have 60 seconds and it'll automatically bring you back. And we'll have a few moments of closing sharing and a final piece of inspiration. And so have fun exploring this theme of connection, whatever's alive for you right now. So the rooms should be opening and you should be invited. So you click that button and you should be able to go. And Let's see if I can put you in a room, Kathy, if I can help facilitate that. Okay, I'm going to put you in a room, Kathy. Oh, you made it. Okay, let's see. Right here, I'm going to put you in. Okay. I'm going to put you in a room. Let's see. You should go. That should get you there. And Nancy, I am just checking in with you. You don't have to. Oh, I think you just wrote me a note. You have to leave. Perfect. So thank you for being here and have such a wonderful rest of your day. Welcome back. It's like magic. People gradually show up. Thank you, Jeremy. Yeah, it's been so lovely to see you every week. Yeah.
Great to see you too. And I don't know what will come of this, but I sure hope that you are able to do this.
Well, you know, I think I'm just enjoying it, so I don't have any plans of stopping it anytime soon. It's kind of sweet. I have a group I go to, like, with a teacher that I know, and he's like, whoever knew? And he's like, I think I'm going to keep doing this. So I think it's part of the practice world now, so it's very sweet. Yes. So, I will, if you guys know how to open your chat box, I'm going to send the, so you can see it visually, the poet's name you ask, so where your toolbar is, if you click on chat, and if you can't see it, like Kathy, I can send this to you in an email. So you can hear it. Rosemary Watola Tromer, Wahtola, and then second name Tromer, Trommer. Yeah, she's really lovely. And so any, you know, what? Yeah, if you Google her, you'll find it. She has a website, so. Yeah. So maybe just a brief sharing or two, if anybody has anything wants to be spoken before I offer one final piece of inspiration. Yeah, so that may be a good theme for me to explore even next week, and you know, because part of what really our practice is about being present with what is, and mindfulness or awareness actually doesn't have a preference. It's a little bit like a camera lens. A camera can take a picture of a rainbow or a beautiful sunset, and it can also take a picture of garbage in the gutter. And the camera is not upset. And our practice is actually very much like that as we cultivate. And what I've, you know, it's an edge to explore in practice. It's sort of an invitation, but often, even when we connect with what's difficult, there is some sense of ease or peace in just the connection versus like being at war with it. And there's something real about it, you know, like I can sit in the presence of somebody suffering and that might not be pleasant to connect with, but there's actually something really, nourishing about being in that moment of connection. So I'm going to play with this, and this might be a whole week in itself because there's a lot here. You know, it's kind of like there's these threads that this is why we could meet forever, because there's another layer and another layer. So thank you for that, Andrea. I'll play with that inquiry. Anything else? Yeah, my pleasure. That makes me so happy. Cracker Jack prizes used to be way better. I still have this little tiny, like, Martian that I got out of him. He was just so fun. And to this day, I still love this, like, silly little thing because it's a memory of that experience. So thank you, Julie. So just a very short reading and we'll close. This is by Mark Nepo from the Book of Awakening. We waste so much energy trying to cover up who we are when beneath every attitude is the want to be loved, and beneath every anger is a wound to be healed, and beneath every sadness is the fear that there will not be enough time. It's like wearing gloves every time we touch something, and then forgetting we chose to put them on. We complain that nothing feels quite real. Our challenge each day is not to get dressed to face the world, but to unglove ourselves so that the doorknob feels cold and the car handle feels wet, and the kiss goodbye feels like the lips of another being, soft and unrepeatable. And what I would offer is that even though we're living in a world where we kind of do have to get gloved up to go out there, we don't have to glove our hearts. So it's like, how can we stay in contact with the world and touch it and be touched by it, even as touch is being redefined for us? So this is a theme for us to keep playing with, if it speaks to you. It's like, how do we keep this heart open? Recognizing that the heart opens and closes, and there might be a talk in there too. So, such a joy to be with all of you, and I'm so glad, Kathy and Karen, that you could join us this week, and I hope you'll come back. I'm, you know, here every Wednesday, and that's the plan for the indefinite future. So take such good care, and stay healthy. Stay in connection with yourself in the moment and your beloved. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the dog. That just made my day. I just made my day. Cracker Jack. Yay. Bye. You are so welcome. Take good care. Oh, what a sweet surprise. Yeah. All right, I'll see you soon, Kathy. I'll end the meeting so you don't have to get yourself out. So glad you could be here. Yeah, maybe. Well, and you're welcome anytime, and I'll look forward to seeing you again soon. Okay, You too. Be well. Blessings.